Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight, it's Ocean State Theater Company time again. Amy Turner is back. Welcome back, Amy.
Thanks so much for having us, Mike.
Great to have you back again. And this production is going to be The Meeting. And I must confess, I know very little about this, so we're going to ask lots of questions. We have two special guests in the studio. One is returning. One is familiar to the Ocean State Theater Company audience in that he's been in a couple of productions that were sensational. Dameron Russell Armstrong is back. Welcome back.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for having me over.
Nice to see you again, and can't wait to find out about this show called The Meeting, which is, a hypothetical, if you will, meeting between Martin Luther King and Malcolm X. We'll find out details about that. But the other gentleman in the studio is new to us. Marcus Dennard Johnson is here. Welcome, Marcus.
Hi, Mike.
Nice to have you with us. Let's find out a little bit about you first off, because we know everything there is to know about Amy. So let's go right to you. And Marcus, give us a little bit about your background, where you grew up, where you started out, things like that.
Sure. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia, born and raised. Graduated from Morehouse College, where I earned my Bachelor of Arts in theater. Then I went to Florida State University, also conservatory in Sarasota, Florida. Mm-hmm. Received a Master of Fine Arts in theater there. And moved to New York, moved to the Big Apple. Yeah, exactly. and worked for a few years in New York, doing some Shakespeare and other productions. And then I went to teaching.
Hmm.
Yeah, I taught special education for 2 years, have a Master of Science in special education, and decided I wanted to come back and take some more punishment and do this thing called acting again.
Right.
So, here I am. Brought me here.
So, your first trip to Rhode Island?
This is my first trip to Rhode Island.
All right. Well, welcome. Just don't stay too long. Okay. We in Dameron's case, you're back again, so you're like a regular now. So we can keep you here. But for anybody that isn't familiar with your last productions that you did with Ocean State, tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, my background here in Rhode Island is that I went into a little audition, and on the other side of the table were familiar faces to me. Joe Kipper and I kind of ran the streets of Kansas City coming up, so it was great to sit in an audition and audition for somebody that you knew.
Right. But just a little sidelight for our audience, since Joel is not here. Joel is part of the Ocean State Theater production management team, and he does whatever Amy says to do. So go ahead.
Exactly. Which is something I fast learned.
Right.
Amy is the boss.
Amy is the boss. Now, you're
so I changed my focus from auditioning for him to auditioning for Amy.
There you go. Yeah.
And quickly won her heart and was cast as Tom Collins in Rent.
Right. Great production, yeah. and a great drink. But
definitely. And then while in rehearsals and performances of that show, Amy realized that the next show that she was doing was a David Mamet play, mm-hmm. Entitled Race, mm-hmm. Where there was an African-American character in that show, and asked me if I would come in and read for that. And while learning Rent, right. I had to change gears and actually read the play, because I'd never seen or read Race at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Very provocative play, very interesting play.
Absolutely.
Went in and read and they kept me over.
There you go. And it worked out well because you happen to be African American, right?
So, that was the stretch part.
I think Amy probably noticed that. Amy, let's get to a little bit about the play. We're going to talk more than normal today because it is a play, not a musical. So the music that we're going to listen to today is related in some way, and we'll tell you about each song we're going to play. But let's get to Amy and just have a little bit more background about why you selected this.
Well, I was really looking for something that we could utilize as part of our educational programming. And when we recognized that the time slot that we were trying to fill was Black History Month, predominantly, that the show runs through the February 15th, it sort of got me thinking about, you know, how do we sort of honor those folks that stepped forward historically and really were leaders? And after reading a few plays, I felt that this was such an intriguing play. First off, it was written in the 80s, obviously many, many years after what we consider to be the height of the civil rights movement, obviously decades after both gentlemen unfortunately were assassinated. And then now here we are at the time in 2014. And it just seemed like it was very, a conversation that continues to be necessary. Well, now fast forward to, you know, literally the end of 2014, the beginning of 2015, and I'm telling you, this conversation, which ultimately is about their philosophies, nonviolence, do anything it takes, you know, the religious ideals of the two men, you know, all of their backgrounds, everything sort of coming together with these different opinions. How do you make change happen? What is the right way to do? What's the American thing to do? And we're still having that conversation, aren't we?
Ripped out of the headlines, as they say, and just 2 weeks ago with the stoppage of traffic in Boston on the highway with people protesting and different methods and people not necessarily agreeing on what method to take. So we'll get into a lot of that, but let's get to a piece of music right now that's been selected. And Amy's going to tell us exactly why you selected this.
So the first song we have is Sam Cooke's Change Is Gonna Come. I think it'll be familiar to a lot of people. It's kind of obvious, I think, what it is. And what we did is we just brought a lot of music, some that will be familiar with and probably some that you're not familiar with, but all either about or inspired by the civil rights movement.
Just like the river, I've been running ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too help me, please. But he winds up
gonna come. Oh, yes it will.
This being not a musical leads me to a couple of questions. First off, most of the productions at Ocean State have a cast of 10, 12, 15, 20, 28 people. This cast is a little smaller. And how many exactly in the cast for the meeting?
There's three of us.
Three
total.
And there's two of you here.
Yes.
Does Amy make a little tap dance appearance? Or
Amy does make sure that she her voice is heard, but no, we have another gentleman, Tony, who is playing Rashad, and that is the bodyguard of Malcolm.
Okay, so there's just the three of you on stage at any one particular time. All takes place in a hypothetical city, or is it not even stated?
It all takes place in Harlem.
Okay.
We infer that it takes place at the Teresa Hotel, which was a famous hotel in Harlem for the black elite.
Okay. And when you talk about a play like this, and I guess this is somewhat similar to Race in that respect, a small cast, and I think it was five, right, as I recall, four. Okay. There was the two attorneys, the paralegal and the client.
Correct.
Right. Oh, wow, I got that. And so in this case, it is three of you. Is there any line between what makes something more than just a conversation between a couple people versus a play? I know that we had the discussion in Rent as to whether it was an opera or a musical. So the same kind of thing here. Is there any discussion about, how does this become a play if it's just two guys talking?
I think you have to think about those passionate conversations that you have with people in your circle, whether it be coworkers or family or whomever. Within those passionate conversations, there's a lot of drama. There's a lot of ebb and flow. There's a lot of up and down. Emotions get heightened. People cool down. Emotions get heightened again. People walk away. People are furious. People are sad. And then sometimes, or not, we come together and we're able to come to a consensus on something. And I think that's exactly what this play is. It's not just two people talking, but it's two people engaging passionately about their beliefs. And whenever you see that that ebb and flow on stage, whenever you see that back and forth and juxtaposition of wills, that's what drama, that's what theater is about. And
right.
I think that this play encapsulates that perfectly.
You know, I play my part as a radio talk show host, and that's pretty easy to do. Dameron, do you have lose any sleep at night realizing who you're portraying?
Oh, definitely. I think there's we were talking about what makes a play something that is dramatized, but generally, when you're playing someone like Henry Brown from Race, I don't know Henry Brown.
Right,
I don't
know
if he actually ever existed. But
In
this day and age of technology, you can go to YouTube and put in Malcolm X and see this man's charisma and see his understanding of language. And that's a little daunting because certainly on my side of the table, even more so on Marcus's side of the table, who is portraying a man who is, both of these men are beloved when it comes to conversations
and
about
both have become
the civil rights.
Larger than life. I mean, both of them, they're, I don't want to say legend because that's not really fair, but their stature, it just becomes bigger and bigger all the time, right, Amy?
Right.
Absolutely. And they aren't just beloved universally by everyone. I mean, there's controversy with both of these. And I'm sort of drawn to listening to these eloquent answers, but I'm thinking, gosh, what makes a great play? Really good dialogue and really good characters. And come on, I don't think it's a stretch for most people to think these are two really deep characters with a lot going for them. And good Lord, they must have a lot to talk about.
And when you think about a play, it's not just either one of us giving oration.
Right.
But an actual conversation. Mm-hmm. You see the tennis ball being hit back and forth. And I think another important thing that the author does in this play, it shows the human side of two men behind, as you say, the legend that they became, or behind the men behind the speeches that might be familiar to many of your audience.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we're going to get a little bit deeper into that, but we have another piece of music. And what is this going to be?
So this is Pride by U2. And one of the interesting things about this piece is that it was written in 1984. Which is the original date of the meeting. The original production was written in 1984.
Okay.
So that's a kind of interesting parallel. But this was written in response to after Bono read the biographies of both Malcolm X and Dr. King. It was also written a year after U2's Sunday Bloody Sunday, which is talking about the March in Selma. So you can see the love and admiration that this group must have had for the civil rights movement.
Yeah!
Amy, let's tell everyone how they can get tickets to the meeting and all the other details, dates, and so forth.
So we open this Wednesday. We'll run through February 15th. The easiest way to get all the information is go to the website, oceanstatetheater.org. That's .org. Or give us a call in the box office, 921-6800, of course, 401-921-6800. The box office opens every day at noon, or stop on by 1245 Jefferson Boulevard.
Just a stone's throw from the airport, as we say in the ads. And the meeting is going to be, I think, one of those things you're not going to want to miss. I know that I was saying earlier off air before we started the show that Rent was one of those plays I wasn't real excited about seeing, but then after I went to it, I couldn't resist going back and back and back, and I think I saw it four times. And Race, I knew nothing about. And that's my favorite production of all time at Ocean State Theater. I just loved Race. I still don't know who did it, but that's another story. We have one more piece of music to get in before we take this break. We're a little bit long, so I'll just ask Dameron to tell us about this next piece of music.
The title of this is Alabama. It was written by John Coltrane. People will know him just as Coltrane.
Coltrane,
but
yeah.
This was in response to the bombing of the church where the four little children were killed, little girls were killed.
We will listen to that, or at least we'll listen to a short portion of that because we're running a little long, and then we'll be back with more of Conducting Conversations with Ocean State Theater Company's The Meeting. We are back on Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, and we're sitting with Ocean State Theater Company's representatives, Amy Turner, who is the director of this upcoming production, The Meeting, that we've been talking about, the hypothetical or suggested meeting between Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, and Damron Russell Armstrong is here, and Marcus Dennett Johnson is here. Johnson, that's a hard name to say.
It's difficult. I have trouble with it sometimes myself.
Yeah, so. It's one of those tough ones that, Italian names always get me too. But Marcus, I just wanted to ask you, since this is your first visit to the Ocean State and the Ocean State Theater Company, in portraying someone with the statue, we touched on this before, like Martin Luther King, and you come to a stage, you're going to have a few hundred people at each show watching you. Does it impact on your thinking, how would he act? How would Martin Luther King act? Is this all done in rehearsal? Does any of that come from your earlier visions of what he might be like, or just where does, where do you put yourself in his body?
Well, Mike, if I wasn't nervous about it before, I am now. Thanks. But, and this is something I've definitely lost a little sleep over. I think the trick is to not fall into playing people's perception of the man. Yes, as an actor, you want to get that sense of movement, that sense of vocal tonality within your body. But I think what really has to be in the forefront of your mind is finding that desire and that drive and letting that inform you of your character choices. And with that comes research and figuring out, okay, what was Dr. King's strategy? What did he want to accomplish? And I think once you get that into the deep recesses of your acting process, I think everything else just kind of falls into place. Mm-hmm. So, have I gotten to the place where I'm comfortable yet? Absolutely not. And we're talking, Wednesday, I feel good and.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that, Amy, as far as a director, do you help in that regard?
Well, I hope so. You'll ask them that. But, I think it's, for me, it is important that people understand with this piece, but just typically in general, that I'm not sure our obligation is to do any kind of mimicry or impersonation. Certainly if the play asked us to step forward and deliver the I Had a Dream speech, we would want it to sound familiar to the audience, certainly, and honor that presentation as it was historically. But kind of one of the many beautiful things about the structure of just Jeff Stetson's play is that it is a fictionalized meeting. We all presume it never happened. The two men did meet very briefly. There's a photo opportunity of them. But to our knowledge, we don't know that this meeting ever happened. So it kind of gives us the artistic license of saying, these guys are behind closed doors. They're talking in some way, shape, or form with someone that they mutually respect. And so they can kind of behave in a way, hopefully, that doesn't make us fall out of what we assume these two gentlemen were and what we know they were. But these as actors have a little bit more luxury of being able to make it up, and that's kind of fun.
Yeah, I suppose it wouldn't be any difference than taking a historical figure and saying, well, what if Martin Luther King had the opportunity to sit down with Abraham Lincoln behind a closed door? It's the imagination of the author that's put this and the way that the three of you in particular are going to interpret it. All right, very interesting. Let's get to the next piece of music that we have to kind of set the mood here. Amy, what's this going to be?
So this is a song called If I Can Dream, and we brought Elvis Presley's version of it. It was in 1968. He actually used it to close his television special. And I think that a lot of music was written during that time period, and a lot of really abstract artists that you wouldn't necessarily associate with support of the movement. I think it's pretty powerful that someone like Elvis Presley chose this song to close his television special.
There must be lights burning brighter somewhere. Got to be birds flying higher in a sky more blue. If I can dream of a better land where all my brothers walk hand in hand, tell me why. Oh, why? Oh, why can't my dream come true? Oh, why? There must be peace and understanding sometime. Strong winds of promise that will blow away the doubt and fear. If I can dream of a warmer sun where hope keeps shining on everyone, tell me why. Oh, why? Oh, why won't that sun appear? We're lost in a cloud with too much rain. We're trapped in a world that's troubled with pain. But as long as a man has the strength to dream, he can redeem his soul and fly. Deep in my heart, there's a trembling question. Still I am sure that the answer's gonna come somehow. Out there in the dark, there's a beckoning candle, yeah. And while I can think, while I can talk, while I can stand, while I can walk, while I can dream,
Amy, there's something you're doing a little bit special for this show that you haven't done before as far as ticket prices are concerned.
That's right. This is the first time that we've actively put out a student pricing. And so with a student ID, whether it be, you know, middle school, high school, or college, all the tickets are $15. We encourage everyone to think about bringing someone younger than them to see the show. It's an important conversation to have. And we also have student field trips, our student matinees. So if anyone's a teacher or a principal and they can quick put a field trip together for their students, we would love to have them come and see the show.
Excellent. And I know you mentioned high school students, and I have something a little unique that the three of you that are in the studio with me don't have, is I remember very vividly where I was when President Kennedy was assassinated, and Martin Luther King, and Malcolm X, and I can remember vividly, they're looking at me like, you can't possibly be that old, but I actually graduated high school in 1968. And that was the year of the assassination of Martin Luther King. And it's the year that this song was written, which for me was a very, very popular song. So we're going to go out. I'm not going to tell you much about it. Most of you, I'm sure, will remember it. Then we'll take a short break and be back with more.
Anybody here see my old friend Abraham? Can you tell me where he's gone? He freed a lot of people, but it seemed good they die young. You know, I just looked around and he's gone.
out of here. See my old friend John. Can you tell me where he's gone? He freed a lot of people, but it seemed the good they die young. I just looked around and he's gone. Anybody here see my old friend Martin? Can you tell me where he's gone? He freed a lot of people, but it seemed good they die young. I just look around and he's gone. Didn't you they stood for? Didn't they try to find some good for you and me? Then we'll be free someday. Soon he's gonna be one day. Anybody here see my old friend Bobby? Can you tell me where he's gone? I thought I saw him walking up over the hill, Abraham and Martin and John.
We are back on Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, and we're sitting with representatives of the Ocean State Theater Company and their portrayal or production of The Meeting, hypothetical meeting between Malcolm X and Martin Luther King. And I know we're going to touch on some subjects here, but I want to relate a story to you. We mentioned in that last segment that I was in high school when this happened. And to try to relate to both of you in particular, the difference in generational things. When I was growing up, I had the opportunity to visit North Carolina, being a Rhode Island boy all my life. And I was about 8 or 9 years old at the time, and we drove to North Carolina with my mother and father down to visit my brother, who was living down there at the time. And I can remember being in Kings Mountain, North Carolina, and we were kind of coming up a side street. And on the corner of the main street and the side street that we were coming up a hill on, there was a movie theater. And on the side door, it said colored entrance. And I started laughing hysterically, saying to my dad, boy, this is a backwards town. They're just getting colored movies. And that's my impression of how I grew up. Like, I never gave it a thought. And so in my lifetime, we went through things like that. And those things are changing, but changing not maybe fast enough. And I know this production brings to light some of those things. We talk about the changes in both African-American relationships. And also, I think that, Demarin, you mentioned off-air that this is also leading to other changes in social behavior, right?
Yeah, I think that really good theater entertains, great theater entertains and provokes thought.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly this show, though on its face, is dealing with racism. When audience go, why me, why this show at this particular time?
Right.
I think it provokes one to think about all the other changes and how do we get to justice when you talk about democratic revolts in China, when you think about equal pay for equal work for women. I mean, there's so many different issues that the ideas from this play can help us eventually get to an answer to
help understand the situation. And both of you, I'm sure, experienced things like this in your life. That do you have a chance to release any of that information in this, or I know you're strictly it's a play, so you're sticking to the script, but I'm sure there's personal references and personal things that have happened to you that maybe you can get out and let your attitude and your understanding of the situation be known.
Yeah, I think sometimes unknowingly portraying such characters and being in such a provocative play can provoke a somewhat cathartic experience. And as an actor, you have to learn how to kind of pull that back and still tell the story. But really, I think what this particular play does and these kinds of experiences is it forces you to not be complacent. I think you are able to look at the situations being presented and really, I mean, it's clear as day, the relevance is there, and you see how it connects to what's going on, and it really forces you to not be complacent and to look for further answers and look for further truth and continue the work that these gentlemen left off doing.
Couple of things that I would add to that is, you know, it's not a scary play. I mean, these are two very, very well-educated gentlemen having a very passionate discussion about what they hold to be true. It is dramatic, make no mistake, but they are first and foremost really highly educated men. And I think the second thing is that they are fighting for the civil rights movement, but the civil rights movement was about equality. It was about freedom, true freedom. It was about justice, real justice. And that's where, to Dameron's point, that we're still having that debate. You know, we use those words right now. Are we really free? If our government is looking at our emails, you know, what are we out there fighting for freedom, you know, by entering into wars in the Middle East? You know, what do the Israelis want? Like, it's really, we're still having this, the Chinese, the Ukrainians, it's kind of amazing. Apartheid, like all of these things that we've been through, at the end of the day, I think that if we can understand what justice means to us and we can understand what freedom means to us, the answer becomes much clearer. And that's where this particular play is about the civil rights movement and race relations in the United States. Absolutely. But it sort of floats above and beyond that into this very relevant conversation.
Well, an opportunity for all of us to get out and see this production at the Ocean State Theater Company. And it's going to start opening on Wednesday night with previews, Wednesday and Thursday, and then Friday opening night. And then, as always, on Sunday, a week from tonight, or a week from this afternoon, I guess, we'll have a chance for a talk back with the audience. And one I'm certainly looking forward to, where if you're in the audience, just hang around for a few minutes right after the show closes, and we'll invite the actors back on the stage, and I will host with Amy a little talk-back session that we call Conducting Conversations Live. So that will be on Sunday, and I look forward to that. And I want to thank both of you gentlemen for coming in today, sharing your time with us, and look forward to the production. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, it's great. Amy, thank you. And once again, why don't you just give us dates and times and ticket information?
Sure. Tickets available on our website, oceanstatetheater.org, or call the box office, 401-921-6800, and ask about our special student pricing.
There you go. Student pricing available. Well, once again, a great show. Time flies when you're having fun. We're going to go out with one more piece of music. We Shall Overcome. I don't think we have to tell them a lot about that. We'll just let that play and listen to a piece of that, and then we'll see you all next week on Conducting Conversations.
Hey, we shall overcome. We shall overcome. We shall overcome someday. Darling, here in my heart.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.